This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up? It's your boy, The Ted Smith from The Men's Room. And did you know I have a podcast? Well, I do. The Podcast. New episodes uploaded every Wednesday on the Odyssey app.
Somebody out there deserves to be recognized. And the men's room knows just who it is. So to you, we say, bottoms up, sailor. You're the toast of our shot of the day.
Three time it is, and as usual, we head to the drink desk and Steve a Thrill Hill to find out who we're toasting.
Yes, indeed. And today we toast 19-year-old Jeremiah Charles. Jeremiah, in this case, not a bullfrog, of Miami, Florida. Now, Jeremiah, he is not the world's most original criminal, but he is one of the dumbest. So he decided that he wanted to steal a car. But instead of hotwiring an unoccupied car, Jeremiah made the decision to carjack a woman. Now, he successfully got her out of the car, and he drove off in her Toyota Corolla. And then the police tracked him down real quick at his home, not long after the crime, and they arrested him. Now, the reason it was so easy for the police to track him down is because he carjacked his own Lyft driver that he ordered under his name through the Lyft app with his address. So basically, when the cops showed up, she's like, his name's Jeremiah Charles. He lives at 111 Main Street. Man, that's where he's at. Sure enough, the cops got there. Her car was parked in his driveway. He denied they had anything to do with it. And the cops basically said, look, we don't want to make this difficult, but that stolen car is in your driveway. And incidentally, we have the Lyft record. You called her from a different location and put this address in, dummy. It's your Lyft driver. Come on, man. Look, like I said, if you have to commit a crime, can you not be stupid? That's all.
Commit crime smart.
Yes. If you're going
crime
to
smart.
Do it.
Crime smart.
Crime smarter.
Work smart.
Work smart, crime smart. That's all we're saying. So we pour this booze, and we drink this booze because we think it's yummy.
Yummy.
So over the tongue and down the throat to party in our tummies.
Down the hola, bitch, hola.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
It's Bad Choice Friday.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
Hey, man, this is your fault.
Yeah, and today, believe it or not, we salute my grandma. She made it to 99 years on a Bad Choice Friday. So, we had Nina and 99 Luft Balloons taking on Jay-Z and 99 Problems. Mike, how was the voting?
Astoundingly close, Miles, and this was probably one of the most interesting polls that we've had in a very, very long time. And I'm sorry to say that Grandma's going to keep the car in the garage this weekend because we got 99 Luft Balloons.
Really?
Oh,
yeah.
I will be damned.
She's going up. There we go.
I would have never thought that.
Welcome to the weekend. You're listening to Men's Room 99.9 KISW Seattle.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
99.9 KISW. We return to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
Be like Justin. Well, sort of. Win your share of $100,000. Just listen for 1 hour to KISW on the Odyssey app now or sometime over the weekend. You will be registered to win that cash.
Put it on out when you're hanging out outside.
Absolutely. Just that easy. Now for all TV news all the time, time for TV Time with Ted.
And now, because your pathetic life is confined to countless hours in front of a talking box, the Men's Room presents TV Time with Ted.
The last time I'll ask people this, you guys watch any Olympic stuff last night?
What did I do? No, I did not.
Not really, no. A little highlights, but that was about it.
All right, yeah, I was kind of flipping back and forth between that and the Mariners. The Mariners got a nice win.
They did. Ninth inning magic.
Today, I'm very annoyed with our track team. Spoiler alert, we get DQ'd. And I don't understand how you can have such great athletes that win a lot, but we can't hand off a baton in the proper setting and in the area where you can hand off.
Right.
And we screw it up every time. We just, our 4x100 team just sucks.
Huh. And it's all about the baton, right?
Right. I don't understand. It's like, do you not practice? The women do.
Right.
They dominate that sport. Right? And we have fast dudes.
They just have bad hands.
Yeah, even if you came in, you know, if you didn't win the race, I get it. But, like, you got DQ'd.
Right.
So, now with that said, handing a baton off to people is very hard. But, like, throw brought up. Like, I forgot, like, when I was in grade school, we used to do that in gym class.
They absolutely
all
made
time.
Us do it. Yeah.
Hand back, palm up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the one guy took off too soon.
It's like, come on, man. Oh. Yeah. But, I mean, the other guy chased him to the point that he went past the legal line.
They call it the handoff zone.
Okay. So, yeah, and he stepped past that line, and it's like, well, fast or not, bro, you broke the rule. Right, disqualified.
Yeah. Or in years past, they've been dropping them and stuff.
Just ridiculous. Come on.
I'm not really pissed, but it's just something that upset me.
Maybe they should just change it to tag. Like, just slap your buddy's hand, and then he can start running, right?
Hey.
Yeah.
Hit me on the backside.
Little pat on the ass.
Yeah.
But still, there's a lot of good stuff coming up this weekend I'll get to. All right. Miles Thrill, you guys have still not watched Breaking Bad, correct?
Correct. No.
All right. You should watch it. It's a very good series. But there's the famous scene. Obviously, the show takes place in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Basically, Walter White's home, the exterior, is what you see. Now, I'm sure they use sets for the inside.
Right, soundstage or something, sure.
But when he's going through trouble with his wife, he comes by with a pizza and everything, and she's like, we don't want to see you, blah, blah, blah. So he chucks this pizza on the roof. Kind of a famous scene, right? Yeah. I didn't really understand it till I saw it. But basically, they're just saying, like, look, the house is super famous, but the people that own the house didn't really make a lot of money. She said, quote, people assume we made millions off the show. We were not in the show, so we do not get residuals. So we do not get compensated. We got paid for the location fee, a one-time fee, in and out. That's it.
Yeah.
Now, she also left off how much they got, but I guess location fees can range from $12,000 to $1 million per year.
Damn. A year?
Okay, then.
Yeah. It lasted 5 seasons, so obviously they have to go back and reshoot some scenes.
Yeah.
Right? Like when Walt throws that pizza on the roof, like they, I don't think they could have had all that planned years in advance. But also, I get what she's saying. She's like, look, we're physically the people, we weren't on the show.
So we don't get paid. I mean, it's still not a bad deal, but just like, right, we're not going to get residuals, but also probably don't cry for us.
And Mike has brought this up before. The biggest issue, frankly, that they had was just people would go by and just throw pizza on their roof to be like, oh, we did it. So, and that's the other thing, too. At the end of the day, it's just a two or three bedroom home
right.
in a family community, you know, in a normal mm-hmm. community. So, like, I think they had to put up a fence and this and that. Has anybody in here been to the Goonies house?
Yes.
And that's the same kind of deal, right? Like,
you know, there's just a really nice sign that says, please do not, it's kind of a, their house sits up on top of the hill, and it's a dead-end street, so there's like a circle turnaround up there.
Yeah.
That's about it. So there's 4 or 5 houses on the way up to the very top. They're just like, look, there's no real place to turn around, dead-end street, like, please just, you know, move along if you can. Somebody else just bought it, so from the time that I saw it, to the time that the new owner bought it, maybe things have changed. So I don't know. Some dude bought it like 2 or 3 years ago.
I think that dude really does not want people coming to his house. If I remember that correctly. He's like, dude, I live here, man. Stop.
Which I get, but also,
don't buy that house.
I was about to say, I mean, I feel like if you're buying an iconic house from either TV or film,
you got
to
know.
Right, you would know that stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, I get his position, but also, like, don't buy that house. Like, if you hate loud noise, don't buy a home next to an airport and then bitch about it.
Or a golf course.
Right.
Oh, my God, there's a ball in my yard or crashed a window. Yeah,
yep.
You bought a house and a golf course.
Yeah, and I mean, I would argue those are probably two of the more famous houses.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm kind of racking my brain now. Like, what is... I mean,
the Brady Bunch house is a famous house.
Yeah, the Fuller House.
The front of it.
But the Fuller House house, people already went
to
that.
Well, that was San Francisco, so no matter what.
But they already went to that location to take pictures of those houses anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And correct. And that park is right there, exactly. Which people go to. And it's like one of the most famous, most expensive blocks.
Yeah, absolutely.
In all of San Francisco.
I think it's that one and the Grateful Dead home are the two that are the most toured in San Francisco.
Yeah, that's a good point. Nah, I mean, I'm wearing a Dead & Company bracelet, so I get it. I'd if I was in the Haight-Ashbury, I'd be like, well, let's go see it.
Yeah.
So, that's pretty cool. Nobody ever found the island that Tom Hanks was stuck on.
still looking.
The USA did get back in the medal lead. Couple things. Let's see. Noah Lyles, he won the bronze in the 200-meter, but then afterwards he said he had COVID, and he had to be taken from the track in a wheelchair to get... To get medical attention. He also has asthma, which is kind of amazing.
Jesus.
Right? for a guy that runs track.
Right.
Now, I'm sure he was really hurt, but it is funny. Have you seen the videos going around of him before the race and him after?
No.
Oh, he's jumping around. I mean, like, leaping around.
He likes to do that. That's kind of his signature move, right?
Right. And then he comes in third, and it's like, oh, yeah, I got COVID. So, I mean, look, I believe him. He had COVID. Good for him for running through it. And I'm sure it takes a lot out of you, the 200-meter race. But it's just funny that he is, like, going apes. And then afterwards, it's like, I got COVID. I need a wheelchair.
Yes, sir. Jesus.
It's kind of like the famous Paul Pierce playoff game. Remember, Paul Pierce, who played for the Celtics, played in the NBA for a while, legit tough guy, once got stabbed, I want to say, 9 times outside of a nightclub and survives.
All right.
But there's that famous scene, it's like the playoffs, and he gets fouled or something. And, I mean, they pick him up by, like, all fours and, like, put him in a wheelchair. I mean, you would think the guy's dying.
All right.
And then, like, they wheel him off. And then, like, 3 minutes later, he comes out triumphant, and everybody's like, oh, my God, this and that. It's like...
Come on.
Yeah. And look, I get it. I like soccer. There's a lot of flopping at soccer. Basketball players, to me, and they're giant tough dudes, but they could be some of the softest dudes in the world,
too. Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, not like those tough baseball guys that hang out, even if they have a hangnail. They fight through that stuff.
Hit in the face.
All right, so sticking with screens, I was talking about, I recently saw another Despicable Me. So this is a list of the top...
The most recent ones?
I saw four.
Four,
I've
yeah, that's the most
four.
Recent.
I still need to backtrack and start with one and two.
I've seen them all, Ted. And I, to your point...
Spoiler though, alert!
No, just all you need to know, and if you've seen any of them, and you probably have, the Minions make the movies.
Correct.
Right, I mean, 100%. The only time I actually laugh is the Minions.
Yeah, Miles, have you seen any of them?
The first one, I believe.
Yeah, the Minions... I don't know. Like, obviously, they're for children, but they're so dumb and silly that it is pretty funny.
They're great, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And look, I mean, those movies are like 90 minutes. You can pump them out pretty quick.
Yeah, baby.
So the top 10 highest-grossing animated movies of all time. Number 10 on the list, Finding Dory.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, I saw Finding Nemo.
I don't know that I've seen any of those ones, actually.
Really?
You know what? Finding Nemo is a great movie.
It's not a bad movie.
I'll definitely vouch for that one.
That's one I had to watch it 8,000 times with the kids, and that's one of the few that I just didn't get tired of. I was never filled with hate and rage like I normally am.
All these movies, by the way, have grossed over $1 billion.
Yeah, and I think I saw Finding Dory once, and it was fine. It was okay.
Which one was Dory?
Dory was the blue fish. Ellen DeGeneres.
Ellen DeGeneres' character.
All right. The only one I really know is the Stoner Turtle.
Crush.
Disney World used to have this like interactive like fish tank where Crush was in there. It was like a screen. But he would, like, obviously they could see who was in there, and he would, like, talk to people and stuff.
Ellen bullied him the most on the set, from what I heard.
Yeah, I bet.
Oh.
Number 9 on the list, Despicable Me 3.
Three.
Which one was that? I'm trying to think of
the
villain.
That was his brother came into the
picture. Yeah, the blonde brother. Okay.
Meh.
The blonde brother.
Blonde brother.
Blonde brother. I do like those movies, but the third one was forgettable for me.
Yeah.
Again, I saw it. The Minions are funny enough.
Yeah.
Black Ken.
The 8-7 spots, you have Toy Story 3, then Toy Story 4.
All right. Okay. So Toy Story 4, that was the most recent one, right?
Yeah.
And Toy Story 3.
3 was the one, spoiler alert, where they end up in the incinerator and they go out.
Okay, I have not seen 4 then. All right.
Okay.
Number 6 on the list, simply Minions. I kind of forgot the Minions had their own movie.
I did not see that one.
It was a good one.
Was it good?
It was a good one.
Okay.
I feel like the Minions need some direction, though. Like, well, Gru generally tells them kind of like, hey, this is what we're doing.
Well, that's the whole thing. The minions were basically when they first show up to Gru, how they got to Gru.
Oh, it's like a prequel.
Exactly.
All right.
Yeah.
The origin story of the minions.
Yes, the origin story of the minions. Yes.
Yeah. And then there's Minions, The Rise of Gru, which is like, okay, now they found him. Now it's like, all right, how do we incorporate
help this guy? Okay.
Incredibles 2.
That's a good one.
Made the list.
Incredibles was always pretty good. Villain.
Obviously, it's good because it's made all that money.
Yeah.
Right.
Who's a villain in Incredibles 2? I remember the first one.
Crud. You know what, dude? I don't
was
fully
it
remember.
John Malkovich? Was that, or am I thinking of a different movie?
It could have been. I'm not positive.
Octopus guy or something? I'm thinking of a different movie, maybe. Oh, I can't remember.
Now, the top four, pretty standard what you're going to get. Number four on the list, Frozen. $1.29 billion.
It makes sense. It was so viral.
It was a huge hit. I get it, but man, that was a steaming turd of a movie.
Yeah.
Number three on the list, the Super Mario Brothers movie.
Nice.
Have not seen that one.
Worth it, dude. It was a fun one.
When did it come out?
2 years ago? No, a year ago.
Okay, and then I know the one.
And this is the animated one.
Correct.
All right. Yeah, I'd go see that.
Chris Pratt as Mario, and then the guy from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Charlie.
What is his name in real life?
I don't remember.
Neither do I.
Damn it.
Number two on the list, Frozen 2.
Really? That made... Okay, because of the success of Frozen, everybody's going to go to Frozen 2.
I did not see that one either.
Number one on the list is one that just came out, I'm pretty sure, this summer, Inside Out 2.
Huh. Damn, that it's already good. Number one.
Yeah.
That one was good.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Inside Out 2.
$1.46 billion.
I like the Inside Out movies. It is my wife's favorite of the Pixar movies, and they hit home, dude.
I saw the first one, again, in the theater. I can't even remember the last time I went to a movie theater to watch a movie I wanted to watch.
Probably never.
I mean, it's probably before the kids were born. Right. I mean, seriously, I've been to the movie theater a few times. You know what? Cocaine Bear.
There you go.
That's the last movie I saw in a theater where I'm like, I want to see this. Kids want to see that, too. I just said, nah.
That's the problem with the grossing movies, though, is because, you know, the value of money changes.
Right.
And so, yeah, technically the dollar amount is higher, but, like, okay, comparatively speaking.
A lot of times they'll say adjusted for inflation.
I know. Right.
Well, also, too, I think, they're animated, so obviously animated movies are you're gonna have more kids.
Sure. Absolutely.
But I also think kids' movies just make more because they'll go watch the same movies.
Over and over.
And you don't just go with one kid, typically. You go with five. You go the entire frickin' neighborhood if it's your turn to take the kids to the movie.
Right. Like, there's movies I've watched tons of times. Mm. But generally, it's on TV.
Yep.
Like, I don't know. Like, I love Goodfellas. But if they said, we're re-releasing it in theaters, I don't know that I'd run to a theater to see it.
No.
Sure.
Right? Where it's like... Seems like with kids, they're just like, yeah, saw it yesterday. Let's go see it again in the theater.
I like that movie theater in my living room.
Right.
Or I can use the bathroom and pause things whenever I want.
So some stuff on this weekend for you. Starting tomorrow morning, bright and early, the United States Women's National Team in soccer. They will be taking on Brazil in the gold medal match.
Mm-hmm.
Marta, who plays for Brazil, who's arguably the greatest women's soccer player of all time. It's her last match. So in theory, they should have some momentum going in there. But you know what? The women are pretty good, so I'd like to see them bring home some gold. 12:30, you'll have the men's basketball final. That's the United States taking on France. Obviously, that should be a raucous environment because they're in Paris, and France is the host country. Also, sticking with Saturday, listen, don't get too worked up, people. It's just preseason. But the Seahawks are in action. 4 p.m. I know there are probably a lot of people who are like Mike and I. It's like, I just want to see him in the uniforms and see him. See it. Let the pads pop. Let's hit somebody.
Hell yeah.
Let's have some fun. Let's chant some stuff. But yeah, you have all that going on. And then if you're into the ceremonies, the closing ceremonies will be Sunday night, and that'll end the Summer Olympics for this year.
All right. Thank you, Tim. We appreciate it. You're listening to The Men's Room.
The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill. Now, let's see what's happening in the real world.
All right, here we go, man. It's over a year in jail after telling the judge to, quote, kiss his ass. Meanwhile, to escape arrest, a Florida man jumps off a bridge to swim with a bass. Another Florida man is wanted after stealing items from an adult store. Woman sets world record if wool coat is what you adore. And a California teacher's new class includes a Cub Scout. It is time for your headlines.
Now, it's time to hit the headlines.
Here's my cock.
Is that really that loud? My apologies.
Weird. I didn't think it was that bad. That's usually where I pull it down to. All right. Sorry, Miles.
That's all right.
Our top story, we go to California where a local school may have found a new mascot. On the first day of school, one of the teachers of the school was making her way back to the classroom after printing copies of papers in the office when she found an uninvited guest in her classroom.
A bear. Where was this?
California.
Okay.
You know, home of the Bruins. She immediately shut and locked the classroom door, trapping the bear and her cell phone inside, making her way back to the office to call for help. She was able to get in touch with her husband, who arrived on the scene and held the door open for the bear to escape back into the mountains. It's also lost on nobody the name of the teacher that spotted the bear. Ted, you're never going to believe this. The woman that spotted a bear in her classroom, her name is Mrs. Elaine Salmon.
That bear knew what he was doing.
No damn right.
He was coming to eat her.
Said salmon on the door. I was just coming in to get a little nibble
out of it.
Just wanted a fish and some learning.
And some learning, yes.
Wanted to teach the kids about forest fire. I'm in training.
In other news to the Michigan courts, for some audio that was just too good to pass up, a man stood before the court to answer for the misdemeanor crime of trespassing. But something seemed to have irked him for whatever reason, causing him to pop off at the judge, and we do indeed have the audio.
Trespassing. I could technically leave, and you guys could issue a warrant as long as I don't return. You can kiss my ass. This is
No. I'm going to tell you what. You don't come in. You don't. Okay. That's contempt. That's 93. Keep going. That's another 3. That's another 93. That's another 93. That's another 93. That's 693s consecutive.
Should have listened to that person telling him to shut his mouth. Six consecutive 93-day sentences in contempt of court, earning him upwards of like 500.
Not the brightest guy.
No.
Obviously.
Trespassing charges.
Trespassing.
Basically, so what would have been a proverbial slap on the wrist turned into a year and a half behind bars.
That is so stupid. That is so stupid.
He deserved it.
I don't get what he was popping off about. Like I said, I've seen that judge on videos on like TikTok and whatnot.
Yeah.
He's cool. Like he's a good dude. He doesn't exactly, you know, lambaste anybody and put it on harsh.
The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill. Now, let's see what's happening in the real world.
All right, here we go, man. It's over a year in jail after telling the judge to, quote, kiss his ass. Meanwhile, to escape arrest, a Florida man jumps off a bridge to swim with a bass. Another Florida man is wanted after stealing items from an adult store. Woman sets world record if wool coat is what you adore. And a California teacher's new class includes a Cub Scout. It is time for your headlines.
Now, it's time to hit the head. Lines.
Here's my cock.
Is that really that loud? My apologies. Weird. I didn't think it was that bad. That's usually where I pull it down to. All right. Sorry, Miles.
That's all right.
Our top story, we go to California where a local school may have found a new mascot. On the first day of school, one of the teachers of the school was making her way back to the classroom after printing copies of papers in the office when she found an uninvited guest in her classroom.
A bear. Where was this?
California.
Okay.
You know, home of the Bruins. She immediately shut and locked the classroom door, trapping the bear and her cell phone inside, making her way back to the office to call for help. She was able to get in touch with her husband, who arrived on the scene and held the door open for the bear to escape back into the mountains. It's also lost on nobody the name of the teacher that spotted the bear. Ted, you're never going to believe this. The woman that spotted a bear in her classroom, her name is Mrs. Elaine Salmon.
That bear knew what he was doing.
No damn wonder. Right.
He was coming to eat her.
Said salmon on the door. I was just coming in to get a little nibble
out of it.
Just wanted a fish and some learning.
And some learning, yes.
Wanted to teach the kids about forest fire. I'm in training.
In other news to the Michigan courts, for some audio that was just too good to pass up, a man stood before the court to answer for the misdemeanor crime of trespassing. But something seemed to have irked him for whatever reason, causing him to pop off at the judge, and we do indeed have the audio.
Trespassing. I could technically leave, and you guys could issue a warrant as long as I don't return. You can kiss my ass. This is...
You know what? No. I'm going to tell you what. You don't come in. You don't... Okay. That's contempt. That's 93. Keep going. That's another 3. That's another 93. That's another 93. That's another 93. That's 693s consecutive.
Should have listened to that person telling him to shut his mouth. Six consecutive 93-day sentences in contempt of court, earning him upwards of like 500.
Not the brightest guy.
No.
Obviously.
Trespassing charges.
Trespassing.
Basically, so what would have been a proverbial slap on the wrist turned into a year and a half behind bars.
Man. That is so stupid. That is so stupid.
He deserved it.
And I don't get what he was popping off about. Like I said, I've seen that judge on videos on like TikTok and whatnot.
Yeah.
He's cool. Like he's a good dude. He doesn't exactly, you know, lambaste anybody and put it on harsh. He's a good judge. So what was your problem?
He is his own problem.
Right.
I just suspect he is that guy.
God.
Now he'll have all those days to think about what would have been maybe a $120 fine.
Right.
He was obviously already so pissed and worked. Like he was just going to do it. But, you know, again, he's already. What was he in court for?
Trespassing.
Yeah. He's already a hothead. Who trespasses?
You know what? He went to court for a trespassing charge. I guarantee you that's got to be one where you don't have to go to court.
Right.
Pay the fine. You're trespassing.
He probably said, no, I want to fight it in court.
Right.
Or something. Either way, the guy's obviously an idiot.
Which tells you he was likely fighting whoever it was claiming that he was trespassing, saying, no, I'm not. No, I'm not.
Won't get to where I want.
Yeah, it's free country. No, I'm not. This is all allegedly. We have no idea how this interaction went down. We're just projecting. Authorities in Lee County, Florida are asking the public's help to find an amorous thief. Surveillance footage caught the man walking up to and breaking into a local adult store. He walks around the store grabbing all the toys that he can carry before making his escape. They don't have much beyond a vague description. They ask anyone with information to come forward. Basically, they were like, he's wearing these black and white Nikes. Anybody know him?
That narrows it down.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it worked. They have no idea who he is. They're asking anybody who might know. I guess the, you know, look on Facebook Marketplace for some unsightly items making their way on up there for purchase. Whatever you want to find there. Still in Florida for another thief that refused to be caught. While walking around early one morning, officers spotted a robbery suspect that they had been on the lookout for walking along a bridge. They approached him and let him know that he was being detained, to which he responded by jumping over the guardrail and into the water below.
Quickly.
The story said that they enlisted their Marine unit to locate and apprehend him.
They found him fast.
But, right. You jumped off a bridge.
He's the guy swimming near the bridge.
Exactly.
Fully clothed, shoes and all.
Ow.
Cell phone, the whole deal.
You don't generally feel good after you've jumped off a bridge into the water.
Into the water, no.
It doesn't go well for people there. But just in case those stories have the bad taste in your mouth.
Thankfully, there's good news.
We go to the beautiful country of Scotland, where a record has been broken. Our 51-year-old champion has been working as a professional sheep shearer, earning a reputation of the world circuit for an astounding 28 years. Now she set her sights on beating the world record for sheep shearing. Shocking. In the span of 9 hours, the woman was able to shear 517 sheep.
Damn.
Wow. Beating the previous record by an impressive 59 sheep.
Did that say who the previous record holder was?
It was a gal from down in New Zealand.
Okay.
That was able to do
makes
it
sense.
There. Yeah. I misread it at first. I thought that she held the record like she did 59 sheep. Then she blew through it by doing like 517. But no, she beat her by 59 sheep. 9 hours worth, though. That's a long
damn
day.
That's a really long day.
Plus, you got to roll them on their side. You got to pick them up. You got to pick them up by their hind legs or front legs. You need to open the underbelly up, so to speak, to get underneath the legs.
How many sheep was this?
517 in 9 hours.
Do they just keep 600 sheep around?
Oh, sure.
All right.
I have no idea, to be honest with you, but...
Yeah, like, if you're holding this competition, like, how many sheep do you bring?
Right.
And what if she's, like... gets past 600. It's like, we're out of sheep.
And not all of them are exactly agreeable, you know, to getting thrown around as miles the same. Like you said, you got to roll them over on their back and move them in certain ways and maneuver them around to be able to get in there.
Oh,
and
she knows what she's doing.
Yeah, cartoons had me believing that the sheep don't mind. Like, they're not pumped.
No. Right. They're not stoked on this.
Yeah.
And the thing is that, you know, says this 51-year-old woman breaks the record for shearing sheep. You open up that link and you see a picture of it's like... She looks like she can shear sheep.
Okay.
She looks like she has zero problems shearing sheep.
Sturdy.
Sturdy. Oh, yeah. Sturdy. Dense.
Can't pull the wool over her eyes.
Miles. Men's Room Sports, your Seattle Mariners finished the series along with the Tigers, winning the last game last night. They look at the next series that starts tonight through the weekend against the New York Mets.
Who are a good baseball team this year.
Yes, they are. First game starts tonight at 7 over en route with Bryce Miller getting the start. Tomorrow at 6:40 en route as well with Logan Gilbert taking the mound. And then wrapping up on Sunday at 4:10 over on ESPN. We got some primetime baseball. Luis Castillo on the mound for that one. Also on tonight, Little League World Series. series on ESPN, as well as Olympic coverage over on USA and NBC. The U.S. currently tied with the People's Republic of China in the gold medal race, sporting a 33 gold apiece.
Yeah, shout out to South Hill Little League, man. I watched that game last night. Nice comeback. Good win.
Nice work. Nice work.
Also, why is everybody hair blonde?
Baseball. But then there's one last thing. I don't know why I said that. There's one last thing to keep an eye on TV tonight. There's preseason NFL football on NFL Network as we speak. You can watch the game between the Houston Texans and the Pittsburgh Steelers, which means tomorrow, 4 p.m. on Kong, Channel 16 for those. Your Seattle Seahawks are new, improved, and back in action, taking on the L.A. Chargers. Again, that's 4 p.m. tomorrow over on Kong. As far as your weather, it's going to be a nice, cool weekend with mostly sunny skies, some clouds in the mornings, and temperatures staying between the high 70s and the low 80s. Perfect drinking weather to find yourself some delicious Men's Room IPA from Black Raven Brewing Company, known to be on tap at Aurora Borealis and Shoreline, Barbecue Junkies Bar and Grill, and Lacey, and of course Bob's Burgers and Brew. And you can find a comprehensive list of locations on the Men's Room page of KISW.com. And that is it for your headlines. With that, have a great weekend. Mike Hawkins out.
That's it, Megan, a Men's Room IPA. We'll talk to you again on Monday.
Yes, indeed. It's all true. In the meantime, before I say anything, I just want to let you know my daughter is here and wanted all of you that are listening to know
she says hi.
Hi.
So we be all about this bitch. So until next time, please do what you do best. And for Aletha's sake, stay beautiful.
The Men's Room has been taped before a live studio audience. Wardrobe and makeup provided by Mantastic Limited. This has been a presentation of the Men's Room Radio Network.
Oh, man.
A Double Flush production.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.